Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Time is running out. Time is running out. And Brother Beery, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. We'll read through verse 13. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that who? Any should perish, but that who? All should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be what?
Dissolved.
What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be what? Dissolved, and the element shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Time is running out. Well, as we look at verse 1 in this chapter, 2 Peter 3, 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your what?
Pure minds
by way of remembrance. This is an evil day. You know, years ago, there might have been the problem of television and bad programming. But in those situations, people, you know, had to be there at a specific time to watch the wrong things. But today with the internet, there is so much fighting against having a pure mind. And so Peter tells the folks here, he's writing this second epistle, this second book, this second letter, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So in our lives as Christians, this is a challenge. This is a test for us to stir up our pure minds because we still have a sin nature. We don't have time to read Romans chapter 7, but we all still have a sin nature. And so we don't want to stir up any impure things. Peter is saying, I'm writing to you because I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So part of our gathering together is to stir up our pure minds. If you'd hold your place here, turn with me please to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. Hebrews 3:13. The Bible says, but exhort one another, what? Daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the what?
Deceitfulness
of sin. So we are not immune from that same problem. We can fall to the deceitfulness of sin. So we need God's help. We need to take heed to 2 Peter 3:1. We need to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Now, as this chapter, as we read, it's talking about what's going to happen when the Lord returns. And in particular, this chapter, when the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, that is not going to happen at the rapture. That is what, as we'll see in just a moment, is called the day of the Lord. It's the judgment time. But let's remind ourselves in 1 Thessalonians 4, this is what we are looking for, is 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15. And if we keep looking for this, understanding that it could happen at any moment, It will help us in this matter of purity. 1 Thessalonians 4:15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them," where? "In the clouds, to meet" who? "The Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." That thought that he could come at any moment, he could have told us the exact time of his coming. But you know how it is? You know, if the teacher says, well, 3 months down the road, this paper is due, 25 pages, the tendency is to procrastinate. So the Lord doesn't want us to do that. Notice in Titus chapter 2, God kept it a secret as to the time for a good reason. Titus 2 and verse 12, teaching us that denying what? Ungodliness and what? Worldly lust. So it's Peter writing, I'm writing this to stir up your pure minds. And so he's talking about the coming of the Lord. Well, thinking of the rapture too, how should it affect us? Well, we should deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in what? This present world. Is it bad? Yes, it is bad, but God wants us to live godly in this world. Verse 13, looking for what? That blessed hope. Well, what is it? And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And here in verse 14, he brings it back home, this pure mind thing. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from what? All iniquity. And what? Purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. We need to, back in 2 Peter 3:1, we also need to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. So time is running out. Judgment day is coming. And so the day of the Lord is going to come. Notice in the 2 Peter here, and let's see, verse 10, 2 Peter 3:10. It says, but the what? The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. When you see the day of the Lord, it's normally referring to judgment. Now, when we think about the rapture, it's a great reward. It's a translation like Enoch had, to be translated from this flesh to a glorified body. But the day of the Lord refers to the judgment aspect. And in that regard, notice with me in Revelation 9. Revelation 9, there is coming a day when people are going to want to die and cannot for the time being. I just read this week about a judge, a woman judge who seemed to have a lot of issues and said she was being accused unfairly, and she took her own life. She killed herself. Well, there's coming a day in the tribulation period when people will try to commit suicide and will not be able. Notice in Revelation 9, 6. And in those days shall men what? Seek death and shall what? Not find it. And shall desire to what? Die. And death shall what? Flee from them. Why? Well, if you look at verse 5, this is one reason. Verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Has anyone in here ever been stricken by a scorpion? Anyone ever experienced that? No one. Okay, I suppose down south you might have some folks that would be, but What a horrible thing they're going to face. So time is running out. We need to stir up our pure minds. Number two, time is running out. Be mindful of what the scriptures prophesy will happen. So the first thing is, time is running out. We need to stir up our pure minds. Well, how do we stir them up? Well, verse 2, 2 Peter 3, 2. That you may be mindful. Remember, we're talking about stirring up our pure minds. That you may be mindful of what? The words which were spoken before by whom? The holy prophets. And of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. We can stir up our pure minds by being in the Word. Oh, it's so easy in a time when, you know, you may look on your computer and you may have several emails or dozens, or maybe sometimes you can have hundreds of emails coming in to you. You know, if you text a lot of people might text you, and your phone may be dinging all day long, different people texting you back. It is just, we live in a world where it's so easy getting up in the morning to maybe check the news quick, or check the emails quick, or check the text. And we forget about this text. We need this text more than any other news or text. So verse 2 is pointing us to the scripture, stirring up our pure minds by way of the scripture. That's our communication. You know, the internet made it possible to communicate with millions of people across the world. But so often the communication with God is forgotten. So many times I think about that when we're out witnessing door to door. I see so many satellite dishes and yards and roofs and the side of the house, and having all these people that are communicating for information or movies or whatever they're pulling in. But from way up in the sky, they're pulling in information just nonstop. But they're forgetting about the one who is far above this atmosphere, God. And they're forgetting about communicating with Him. Notice in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. In this passage here, Jesus is being tempted by Satan. And what does He tell Satan in verse 4? Matthew 4:4. But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by what?
Bread alone,
but by every what? Word that proceedeth out of the mouth of who? Of God. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That is what we need. We desperately need that every day. Many times when maybe I'll be eating breakfast and still haven't finished up all my Bible reading, I'll pray, "Lord, thank you for this food, and especially for this. That's the necessary food that we need. Notice what Job said about God's Word. Job 23 and verse 12. Job, who was so afflicted, he had no idea what was going on. And, you know, sometimes I just pray and ask the Lord, "Lord, you know we can't see Satan. You know we can't see him trying to set a trap for us. We can't see what he's trying to do ahead of us to veer us off the right path. Lord, please help us, rebuke him," Zechariah 3:2. But here, in Job 23:12, Job says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the what? The words of his mouth." He's referring to God. "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than what?
My necessary
food." We need the scriptures, don't we? We just need them constantly for strength. So time is running out. We need to be mindful of the scriptures prophesying what will happen. Back in 2 Peter 3. Number 3, time is running out. Be mindful that scoffers will come. 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in what? The last days, what? Scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. From my earliest recollection of the Verbergs, my wife's parents, they were looking for the Lord's return, and they were looking to go up together at the rapture. And then when Brother Verberg passed away that day, I was reading scripture and praying, and Sister Verberg just began to weep. And if you could talk to her, it'd be not only for the loss of her husband, but that hope, that anticipation was taken away, because they wanted to go together in that rapture. And then Sister Verberg looked for it the rest of her days as well, and she went through death's door too. But there will come scoffers, and that's part of it. They say, wow, I can remember my grandparents were looking for the Lord's return, and all four of them are with the Lord, my father-in-law and mother-in-law. Now with the Lord. But so many people look at that and then they say, oh, he's not going to come. My grandparents said they were looking for him. He didn't come. My in-laws said they were looking for him. He didn't come. But he will come. Hold your place here. Notice in Matthew 24 and verse 44. Matthew 24:44. The Bible says, therefore be ye also what? Ready. For in what? Such an hour as ye what? Think not the Son of Man cometh. He is going to come. And people, there are so many scoffers. They've given up. Well, don't give up. Don't give up. He is going to come again, and we want to be ready. Why do people scoff at the coming of Jesus Christ? Well, they scoffed at him the first time he came. It shouldn't surprise us. They scoff at his return. But 2 Peter 3 here in verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are what? Ignorant of. That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. They are willingly ignorant of that. They deny, many people in this world deny the worldwide flood. They deny that God created the heavens and the earth. They deny the worldwide flood. They deny the scriptures, and they believe the lie of evolution. Notice in John chapter 1 and verse 3, they are willingly ignorant. They scoff. Think of all of the books that have been written on evolution. Think of all the pages, required reading that people in college and in graduate work, I've had to read about evolution instead of reading the Bible. In John 1:3, speaking of the Lord, it says all things were what? Made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Notice in Hebrews 11, they say, well, what did God make it out of? Well, evolutionists can't answer where matter came from. They say there was an explosion. No one was there to record such a thing. It's all, their system is all by faith. There's no proof at all for evolution. So Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were what?
Framed
by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which what?
Do appear.
God spoke it into existence. Well, where does it say that? Well, notice in Psalm 33. In Psalm chapter 33, evolutionists have no explanation from where matter came. They have, or did have, at least, the ridiculous assumption that all of matter came from a dot on, like a period on your page. They claim that something that small exploded into all of this. Wow, that is really, indeed, hard to believe. It's ridiculous. But Psalm 33:6. By the what?
Word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Verse 9. For he what?
Spake.
He spake, and it was what?
Done.
He commanded, and it what? Stood fast. He spoke it into existence. And one day, back in 2 Peter 3:7, time is running out because God, who spoke it into existence, the world, is going to one day speak the word, and what he has created is going to melt with fervent heat. Notice there in 2 Peter 3 and verse 6. 2 Peter 3:6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same what?
Word
are kept in store, reserved unto what?
Fire
against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God, who spoke it into existence, is going to speak it out of existence. It's going to melt with fervent heat. And you talk about the Big Bang. No, we don't believe in the Big Bang of evolution, but we do believe in the Big Bang when God speaks the word and this earth is on fire. Verse 10, 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with what? A great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So a great noise, a great explosion is going to take place when God speaks the word. So how should it affect our lives? Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We think of everything is going to be dissolved. Let's see if I can do this without spilling it. Everything is going to be dissolved. How many of you like your car or truck? Okay. Sorry, but one day, if rust doesn't dissolve it first, it's gonna be dissolved. How many of you like your homes? Sorry, but one day, if it makes it that long, it's going to all be dissolved. So everything, this is your car, your house, your computer, your cell phone, your iPad, all your toys, it's going to dissolve. Honey, I forgot. I don't know, can you see it? Can you see it, Asab? Okay. Well, I might still try it. Yeah, there you go. I wanted you to notice what this thing is going to do in just a minute. I have to get a different angle here. I found it really interesting when this dissolves. Might take it a minute here. There it goes. You know, as this dissolves, I guess it shows up from the other side. It made me think about something as I watched. Maybe I'm not going to get the right angle, but when I was doing this at home, there it goes. Do you see what it's doing? Do you know what that made me think of? When everything dissolves? Uh-oh. Yeah. Technology. Does that remind you of anything? You know what it reminded me? What it reminded me of? Well, now it's going to float once it gets to this point. Do I have to stop the, or can you just, okay. You want to take back over, Brother Steve? You know what that reminded me of, that little pill when I was watching it at home? As things dissolve, what's going to happen someday? Every knee is going to what? Bow to the Lord. And I thought that, as that pill was dissolving, it just reminded me of bowing. It kept going until finally it's going to float to the top, which it's done now. But I just thought, you know, everything we have, if it lasts that long, I mean, what we have now may have long dissolved by rust or something else before that point. But everything upon this earth, in 2 Peter 3, it says in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, all these material things we have are going to be dissolved. And what's going to be the end is that every knee shall bow to the Lord. So what should we be doing? It says, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So knowing that everything's going to be dissolved, shouldn't we just strive to live holy lives dedicated to God? Because that's the only thing that's going to count, isn't it? Everything else is going to be dissolved. Everything. Notice with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's start in verse 14. 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is what? Holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I was working here one day this week, and I pulled out the desk drawer I was looking for something in there, I forget what, whether it was scissors or something, and there were some pictures of a parade. I think it was 2010, so that would have been 13 years ago. And, you know, many times parade entries are not very modest. And I looked at the picture of our float, and I just thanked God for your modesty. I thank God for it. And you know, that's what it tells us here. God is holy, verse 15. Verse 14 talks about the not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust. Verse 15, why? Because he is holy. Verse 16, It is written, be holy, for I am holy. So as we think back in 2 Peter 3, everything's going to be dissolved. Time is running out for that day. And America is dissolving away because of sin. You know, we think of so many things happening, showing us the time is running out. Maybe some of you have read about a new drug that's being used by drug addicts. And so we've heard a lot about fentanyl. And so, you know, they're trying to make it harder and harder to get fentanyl. But what these drug dealers are mixing in with it is actually a medicine. The drug name is Trank. It's T-R-A-N-Q, Trank. And they're mixing it in, and in some of these, they've checked some of these drugs that some of these drug addicts have been caught with, and this Trank, which is, Exlazine, I guess it would be. But the street name is Trank. But anyway, so they're mixing this in because it's a tranquilizer that's only prescribed for animals. But now they're using it to mix in with drugs. And what it does is they said that heroin has a high, I don't know if it said like 6 to 8 hours is heroin has a high. But a fentanyl high only lasts 1 to 2 hours. So they're mixing in this Trank with it, which then like tranquilizes the people. And so it kind of, you know, they go into this high with the fentanyl, and then it kind of makes them sleepy. And so they like that better because then they go to sleep on this high. So they think it's last longer. Well, it does drag it out, I guess. But the problem is what this is doing to people's flesh. It says the drug slows down blood flow and knocks out the user, which blunts the body's ability to heal itself. So it's causing tissue death. It's like black necrotic tissue destruction. And so they're seeing these drug addicts around Philadelphia, and also mentioned Ann Arbor in Michigan, that, and there was, maybe it's New York City as well. And so what this drug causes that's being mixed in with the fentanyl, this Trank, is that the users become afflicted with abscesses and lesions, which leaves an open wound, and it's like, your flesh is eating away from the inside out. And so they're seeing these drug addicts with these big open sores. It's causing their flesh to be soft and to rot away. And I thought, wow, there is one more picture of the end times. Notice in Zechariah 14, you know, there are so many pictures that God is giving of what is coming. We talked about it a little in Sunday school about God for his foreknowledge. There's so many pictures that God is giving of what is coming to try to awaken people. Zechariah 14:12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their what? Their flesh shall what? Consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall what? Consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall what? Consume away in their mouth. They said where it's not just where these drug addicts are injecting this fentanyl Trank combination. It's not just at that point where they're injecting it. It can be any place on the body. It's causing this soft tissue, this rotting flesh, and just dissolving away. And I thought, wow, what a picture of what is coming in the end times. Truly, it is time to seek the Lord. And so they talk to these drug addicts, you know, this is what it's doing to you. Your flesh is just dissolving away. You need to get off this. And their response is, it's too hard to get off from it. So what they are just resigned to die that way, to die from it. And you know, spiritually speaking, there are so many people, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. There are so many people whose lives are so messed up, they've lost hope that there's any way to recover. They've lost hope. They can't imagine the withdrawal from sin to a life of serving God. They think that's too painful. But look in 1 Corinthians 6:9. We'll go through 11. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall what?
Inherit
the kingdom of God. So all of those, just imagine so much in the drug realm. They showed pictures in these articles of Philadelphia, in a certain spot in Philadelphia. Philadelphia means brotherly love. Oh, it's like the streets are littered with papers and drug stuff. They say people are shooting up drugs with their syringes right on the streets in Philadelphia. Clothes, or people just sleeping on the sidewalk, bundled up in winter coats, and it's just all this drug activity, what's happening to them. And you, someone in that situation, they might think, there's no hope, but there is in Christ, because look at verse 11. And such, what?
Were
some of you. Past tense. Such were some of you. What? Well, all those sins. Such were some of you, but ye are what? Washed. The people on those streets, it's so filthy. Just filthy. But ye are washed. But ye are what? Sanctified. Sanctified means set apart. Oh, just love to take some of those people and wash them and set them apart from that life, that influence. You're washed, you're sanctified, but ye are what?
Justified.
How would you like all of those sins erased? All of those sins forgiven? All of those sins paid for, actually paid for, and have a clean slate? You're justified in the name of who? The Lord Jesus. What does Lord mean? Master. What does Jesus mean? Savior. How would you like to get those people a new master, a savior, and by the Spirit of our God? Put life in them, health in them, strength in them to be filled with the Spirit of God. But their only hope is Jesus Christ, their only hope. So we're seeing all these things happen. With time, it's truly running out. It's running out. And I pray that God would use us to be able to reach these people and show them there is hope. There is hope. In closing, let's go to John 8. They need a new master. They need a new master because their master right now is killing them. In John 8:34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is what?
Servant.
A servant of sin. All those people shooting up with those needles and laying on the street, they're slaves to sin. They're slaves to the devil. Oh, that they might hear the gospel and respond. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we long so much to reach them. We long so much to see a great awakening, a great revival. Lord, we ask for your power, just like the fire fell with David and with Solomon, with Elijah, with Moses. The fire fell from heaven. Lord, we need the fire to fall from heaven to wake people up before it's too late. Lord, we want our pure minds stirred up by your word. We don't want to feed our flesh. We want to feed a pure mind. So Lord, please do a work in each of our hearts. If there are any here this morning who have never been saved, may they come to Jesus Christ for that cleansing today. In Jesus' name, amen.